Welcome to the Traditional Catholic Daily Devotional for Thursday, July 10th, 2025. It's the Feast of the Seven Holy Brothers and Saints Rufina and Secunda, third class with the color of red. In this episode, the meditation, Jesus the Leader. Today's news from the Church, news from the Traditionis Custodis Front, Part 1, a preview of today's sermon, Living in the Real World, and today's thought from Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. But first, the collect of today's Mass. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who know how courageously thy holy martyrs have confessed the faith may experience their goodness as they intercede for us with thee. The Church honors many martyrs, but few stories are as striking as that of the seven holy brothers who gave their lives together, united not just by blood and not just by blood and death, but in faith. According to tradition, these seven brothers were the sons of Saint Felicitas, a Christian widow living in Rome during the 2nd century. She raised her sons in the faith at a time when Christianity was still outlawed under the Roman Empire. Their courage would soon be tested. The emperor's officials demanded that Felicitas and her sons renounce Christ and offer sacrifice to the pagan gods. When she refused, the authorities tried to break her resolve by threatening her children. But one by one, the seven brothers stood firm. Rather than abandon their faith and their mother, they chose martyrdom. Each was executed in a different horrific manner, likely to serve as a warning to the other Christians and to their siblings. Yet rather than sow fear, their witness inspired countless believers. Their mother, Saint Felicitas, was martyred shortly after them, having to watch their children in horror, but also in joy, attaining the crown of martyrdom. The Church honors all eight as saints, a family martyred not by accident, but by conviction. The seven holy brothers are traditionally named as such: Januarius, Felix, Philip, Silvanus, Alexander, Vitalis, and Martialis. Though details vary and some overlap with other Roman martyr accounts, their story still captures the early Church's deep faith, even in the face of death. Their feast celebrated today often along with their mother, Saint Felicitas. In the early Church, they were commemorated in Roman martyrologies and honored with churches built at their burial sites. While public celebrations of their feasts are less common today, their example continues to speak powerfully to us of Christian courage and the sanctity of family unity and faith. And so today we pray to the seven holy brothers to keep us steadfast in our witness, and to Saint Felicitas, faithful mother and martyr. Today's meditation, Jesus the Leader. Jesus has one supreme advantage over all the other human leaders. The influence of these on their followers is merely psychological. That of Jesus on his is mystical as well as and far more than psychological. For Jesus is not only a man, he, the same person, is also God. His personality is divine. The actions of the great chiefs that have from time to time made their appearance in human annals are exercised on the masses that follow them through the senses and through the imagination. They're limited to that. They can stir the emotions and sway the passions of man. They cannot directly make men other than what they are. They cannot put their own spirit or their own force or their own greatness into those who swear loyalty to them. If these latter are changed, the change is due to their own deliberate decisions and actions. But Jesus can directly change his adherents and mold them into his own soul. He can put his own spirit and his own power into them. The divinity works through the sacred humanity, and directly gaining the hearts and souls of men can work transforming effects there. Grace reinforces and gives supernatural energy to the natural psychological influence of a great personality on its admirers. When one has learned to admire Jesus, and through that admiration is insensibly drawn to imitate him, the grace of the man God enters into action to make that imitation real and effective in the inner dispositions of the soul and in the outward forms of conduct. This is taken and adapted from In the Likeness of Christ by Father Lean. Today's news from the Church, news from the Traditionis Custodis Front, Part 1. A newly surfaced report is shedding light on what some are calling the behind-the-scenes maneuvering behind Traditionis Custodis, the 2021 motu proprio that severely restricted the traditional Latin Mass. But before diving into the latest revelations, and maybe you've seen these revelations online, of Rorate Chaley has covered it, it's been done by Diane Montagna, it's helpful to take a step back and understand how the church's position on the old rite has changed over the decades. So that's what this first part, this first article is about. Let's review. The story begins in 1970 when Pope Paul VI introduced the new Mass following the reforms of the Second Vatican Council. From that point on, the Tridentine Mass was effectively frozen. Priests were expected to celebrate only the new rite, with rare exceptions made for elderly or infirm clergy. Any public celebration of the old Mass was viewed as disobedient, and only Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre continued training priests specifically for the traditional liturgy. Again, that's something that we have to really remember. We are so used to, in this era of 2025, in this era of many traditional priests, back in the 70s, it was Archbishop Lefebvre and the Society of St. Pius X. That was it. And so that's the way it was for about 15 years. It was seen as disobedient to train or to say in the Latin Mass. This strict stance began to soften in 1984, when the Vatican issued an indult, a kind of permission slip, for bishops to allow the use of the 1962 Missal, but under tightly controlled conditions. The message was pretty clear from the Vatican. The old Mass could exist, but only as an exception, and only if its supporters fully accepted the legitimacy of the new Mass. The next stage in the story happens in 1988, after Archbishop Lefebvre consecrated bishops without formal approval from Rome, when Pope John Paul II issued Ecclesia Dei Edficta, reaffirming the indult, but also encouraging wider access to the old rite, provided that traditional groups accepted the council and the new liturgy. It was under these terms that communities like the Fraternity of St. Peter were born. And again, this is how we stayed for about 25 years. Then again, everything changed in 2007, when Pope Benedict XVI issued Summorum Pontificum. This landmark document that the Society of St. Pius X had been asking for decades, that the Tridentine Mass would be made available not just to the Society of St. Pius X, but to every Catholic priest because it was a birthright. Well, that landmark document did it. It declared that the Tridentine Mass had never been abrogated and gave all priests permission to celebrate it. No special indult or permission required. But it also defined the new Mass as the quote-unquote ordinary form and the old Mass as the quote-unquote extraordinary form of one Roman rite. An uneasy compromise that tried to preserve unity. Many priests and faithful discovered the old rite during this period, and with it a deeper sense of tradition and priestly identity. Especially among younger clergy, the Latin Mass wasn't just an alternative. It became a real gateway to what they saw as the church's forgotten inheritance. So that's what led to Traditionis Custodes in 2021. And it was then that Pope Francis reasserted that the new Mass is the sole expression of the church's liturgy and put strict limits on who could celebrate the old rite and where. You see, the Vatican was concerned that the traditional Latin Mass had become a flag of opposition to Vatican II. In short, they wanted to control the Mass without letting it shape a vision of the church contrary to the post-conciliar reforms. In response, traditionalist communities were quick to assure Rome that they accepted the council and the pope, but the deeper issue remains. Can two very different liturgies truly express the same faith? So we do know the answer to that because in the Catholic Church, there are multiple liturgies. We have the various rites like the Byzantine, etc. Maybe the better question to ask is, can two very different liturgies truly express the same rite? As more Catholic faithful continue to discover that old rite, that question, and how the church answers it may shape the future of Catholic worship more than any document yet issued. Coming up in a part two on this news story, we will talk about the revelations that the journalist Diane Montagna made, and we'll talk about our understanding of what that means for the traditional movement and the Latin Mass to move forward. But to read this full article, which is a very good introduction, and it's maybe a really good introduction for those who are trying to understand how the quote-unquote liturgy wars got to where they are today, it's a great article to share with friends. Please do see the link in our show notes. Now a preview of today's sermon, Living in the Real World. Applying the supernatural truths of the Catholic faith to our everyday lives is a continual struggle. It is altogether too easy to compartmentalize our Catholicism, living as if it is only real or meaningful on Sundays during Mass or when we set aside time for prayer. But every day we see all around us the tragic reality of sin, which should call us to remember that what we individually and as a society need more than anything is Christ Jesus our Lord.
The glory of God, even in this fallen world, is now manifest daily, already, in Christ Jesus. If we have but the eyes to see it, and it will be perfectly realized in God's good time. If we have but the eyes to see it. That leads us to the second principle. We must have confidence in God, even though we don't understand how he works, even though we don't always see how he works. Our Lord has told us he is victorious. The victory is already won. All that remains is for us is to stay steadfast in faith, hope, and charity, regardless of how things might appear to us in the present moment. Today's gospel scene can help us to examine this a little bit more. Let's look at the scene. So the apostles have been out
fishing. If you would like to hear the full version, subscribe to the separate SSPX Sermons podcast or to the SSPX News YouTube channel. Both links are available in the show notes. Finally, today's thought from Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. In reality, it's an extraordinary gift that God has made us in giving us the Pope, in giving us the successors of Peter, giving us this constancy in truth communicated to us through the successors of Peter that must be communicated to us through them. And it seems inconceivable that a successor of Peter could fail in any way to transmit the truth that he is obliged to transmit. Indeed, without virtually disappearing from the line of succession, he cannot fail to communicate that which the popes have always communicated, the deposit of faith which does not belong to him alone. The deposit of faith, shockingly, does not belong to the Pope. It is the treasure of truth which has been taught during 20 centuries. He must transmit it faithfully and exactly to all those under him who are charged in turn to communicate the truth of the gospel to others. He is not free in this respect. But should it happen, because of mysterious circumstances which we cannot understand, which baffle our imagination, which go beyond our conception, if it should happen that a pope, he who is seated on the throne of Peter, comes to obscure in some way the truth which it is his duty to transmit, or if he does not transmit it faithfully, or allows error to darken truth or hide it in any way, then we must pray to God with all our hearts, with all our soul, that light continues to be thrown on that which he is charged to transmit. This is taken and adapted from The Spiritual Life, published by Angelus Press. There's a link in the show notes. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, may God bless you.